As many of you know, in the last several weeks and months, I have been rather captivated by Marcus Borg's book called Convictions. As part of the book, he describes different kinds of Christians, from conservative to progressive. So in this examination, I began to ask myself, is our church a progressive church? I thought about that for a while, and in the end I answered yes. Because I think we are a progressive church, but that here certainly doesn't mean that everyone agrees with every sermon that Barry and I preach or belief or idea that we might talk about in this church. But the very fact that we can still be a church while maintaining a diversity of viewpoints is a pretty good indication that we are a progressive church. Yeah. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a progressive church, or more broadly, what is progressive religion? And that's what I want to explore with you today. So, with the loaded political scene that we're all dealing with, if you don't like that word progressive, then you can use the word open, or relevant, or engaged. Within every world religion, there is a spectrum. And at one end of the spectrum is a very conservative, literal, historical, word-for-word approach to religion. Sometimes this crosses over to extremism or fanaticism. I happen to think that religious extremism is one of the most dangerous things in our world today. Now, I want to be respectful of people, including people who approach their religion in this literal and fundamental kind of way. And yet I have to be honest and say that that approach to faith does not make sense to me. It doesn't make intellectual sense to me, and it doesn't make emotional sense. What happens sometimes is that people lock into a very literal interpretation of their sacred writings. And so much of religious fanaticism comes from that perspective. A person who is progressive, though, doesn't lock in like that. A progressive person tries to read sacred writings in such a way that they make sense for today. A progressive thinker looks at the sacred teachings and asks the question, does this make sense in the 21st century? A progressive person looks at the sacred history of his or her faith, and rather than trying to preserve it like an artifact of the museum, a progressive wants to keep exploring it and interpreting it and understanding it in new ways. It's not that you throw out the tradition. Instead, you see your religious tradition as a living thing, with which you have a moral responsibility to have a continuing dialogue. Now, I could illustrate this in 100 different ways, but let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You all know the terrible tragedy that took place in Paris. Muslim radicals killed a group of journalists because those journalists had published satirical cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad in a French magazine. Just another example of Islamic terrorism, right? Yet how do we to understand this kind of action? How do we try and understand those of the Islamic faith? Why does this thing keep happening? Now, I think there are really two issues. One is that there is a very combustible relationship between religious faith and political frustration. And that's especially true, I think, in the Middle East. And so what happens is these politically frustrated people cloak their anger in the language of religious extremism. This happened on 9/11 and also in Paris. The gunmen were heard shouting, "Allah has been vindicated." Is this a Muslim problem? It looks like a Muslim problem. It's often reported as a Muslim problem. Yet I want to suggest to you this morning that it's not a Muslim problem. Because I know lots of people who are Muslims. And I know there are thousands of Muslims in this city. And they are law-abiding, peace-loving, God-fearing, family-caring people. The difference is, these people are progressive. That is to say, they are open to applying the Quran to the 21st century world. Yes, the Islamic faith is ancient, just like the Jewish faith and the Christian faith are ancient. But the difference is they are not locked in to a certain way of interpreting their faith for our time. Let me give you another example. An example of literal, extreme, and dangerous religion. But this time it's Christian. There's a group in Topeka, Kansas called Westboro Baptist Church. And basically they go around the country protesting at churches or schools or state houses or even funerals, trying to make the point that God is angry with America. And unless we repent, and by repent they mean reject anyone that differs from them, then God's judgment is going to be executed upon the American people. They think that they're doing the work of Christ. Yet I detest what they're doing. Just as I have Muslim friends who detest what the terrorists did in Paris or in New York on 9/11. It may be on the spectrum of religion, but it's narrow and it's literal and exclusive and fanatical and it's dangerous to our world. And yet it points out why the world needs progressive religion. And when I say that word, I don't mean that anything goes. I don't mean that we can believe whatever we want to believe. It doesn't mean that we water down our faith. What I know is this. Progressive religion has something to say to this world. And religion that is open and continually in the state of learning and growing and evolving is a religion that is relevant to our world. And it makes the world a better place and a safer place and a more sane place. And any time religious faith can do that, it's a very good thing. Maybe I can say it like this. Progressive religion recognizes that there's a human side to faith. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean the Bible just didn't drop out of the sky. The Bible grew from the ground up, and it consists of many books, and it was written by many people over many hundreds of years. And some of it is history, and some of it is metaphor, and some of it is sermon and poetry and parable. But rather than locking in on a literal interpretation of a given Bible passage, the progressive Christian tries to look under the text, trying to figure out what are the ancient insights that bring us into dialogue with our contemporary world. Here's a good example. There was an ancient religious teacher that said the following. The kingdom of God has always suffered violence, and the violent must seize it by force. Now that sounds rather ominous, doesn't it? Is this a call to holy war? Is this saying we should take up arms in the name of God? Is this from the Quran? How easy it would be for a religious extremist to take these literal words and begin applying them in all kinds of destructive ways in the 21st century. By the way, those words were spoken by Jesus of Nazareth and can be found in Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter. As a progressive Christian, what I try to do, rather than locking in on those literal words of Jesus, I try and dig a little deeper, understanding that Jesus was talking about the prophetic tradition of Judaism and how sometimes the people of God resist those who preach to them, but that they have to remain steadfast and assertive and continue doing the work of God, even in the face of adversity and resistance. That's what Jesus was talking about. But a word-for-word literalist can lock into this passage and others like it and use it to justify anything. Anything, including the bombing of a women's health clinic or the starting of a holy war in the name of Christ. Sometimes I think we have to take the Bible seriously enough to take it literally at every point, not to take it literally at every point. That's why the world needs a progressive faith. And by the way, this is also true for our Jewish brethren. There are progressive rabbis and scholars who love the Hebrew Bible enough not to lock it into one literal interpretation of a story. I love the Jewish rabbinic tradition because, to put it bluntly, the Jews are great at arguing. It's a good thing to argue with your faith. It's a healthy thing. It's the reason why rabbis offer multiple interpretations throughout the centuries. Because they know you're supposed to have this dialogue with the sacred writings. You don't lock it in. Don't put the Bible in a jar of formaldehyde in order to preserve it. The faith that we share is a living thing, and all living things are progressive. And if they're not progressing, they're dead. Let me tell you something else I think progressive Christians recognize. And it's that faith makes the world larger, not smaller. In its most extreme form, you find people and churches and religions that believe they are the one and only true religion. And unless you belong to my church or my religion, you're destined for an eternity of hell. You're either in or you're out. And frankly, that kind of us versus them thinking makes the world a very dangerous place. I'm not interested at all in becoming a Muslim, but a progressive faith helps me love and appreciate my Muslim friends. I'm not interested in becoming Jewish, but I love and respect my Jewish friends. Now, am I trying to lead our church to the Islamic faith or the Jewish faith? Of course not. But understanding a little more about these two religions might make us better global citizens. And that's always a good thing. And it might help us appreciate the spiritual dimensions of our own faith. I'm never afraid of that circle getting larger. After all, what do we think God is all about if it's not that expanding presence of love and goodness? Jesus said we were supposed to be the salt of the earth, not the poison of the planet. There's been enough poison in the name of God, and it has to stop. Now, I want to close with, and I'm sorry this has sounded a little bit more like a lecture than a sermon today, but I want to say one more thing. I have a vision for our church. And my vision is that our church will be a place where people can count on thoughtful exploration of the Christian faith, where people can count on compassion and acceptance every time they walk through our doors, and where people can count on learning or feeling something new every Sunday, and that people can count on using reason when it comes to their faith. You want a church that gives you all the answers and castigates everyone a little bit different from them? Fine. You can find that kind of church. It's easy. But if you want a place where there is openness and curiosity, and it might add a dose of humility and a sense of humor, then that's who we are. And I love who we are. So let's honor Christ by loving one another. Let's honor Christ by trying to understand Jesus for our time. Not another time, but our time. And let's try to live a faith that makes the world a better place, even for those who are different from us. Thank you for being such a great church. Amen.